Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Story about what happened Saturday night at my house. We stayed in, and then I had a crying kid over the White Sox. It was like bizarro world in my house. And then we'll take all these Sox calls, Cubs calls. Rick Hahn spoke on the radio station. Jed Hoyer, the Cubs plan. He still isn't sure what the Cubs plan is. Black also has his finger on the breaking news sounder. He gave that a workout on Friday.
Well, I think the button broke, didn't it? It was used so often.
We made sure it works still.
Okay.
Yeah, we're still good.
It's like having to change the brake pads on your car because you're riding the brakes as much as you had to ride.
Do you feel like you're on Family Feud where you're ready to sort of hit it and with a quick answer? As the Bulls could, a lot of Lonzo Ball talk. And that's going to be very interesting, especially with Kyle Lowry. What it appears is going to pick Miami, whether that's sign and trade or a signing. But New Orleans was interested in Kyle Lowry.
Yes.
So now does that make them want to re-sign Ball? Will they leave the Bulls hanging if the Bulls sign him to an offer sheet? Because remember, you don't have to match. You have like 7 days to match. That could tie up a lot of the Bulls' funds. Will they move on to Spencer Dinwiddie? Is this all a big smoke screen that AK's putting out there about Lonzo Ball?
You had Spencer Dinwiddie at one point as well here, didn't
you? That was a PAX decision, yes. I think it was RJ Hunter was the guy they kept over Spencer Dinwiddie for the last roster spot.
Now, with the benefit of hindsight, it seems dim-witted.
That's very good, Waddle. I like that.
Thanks.
That's very good.
Again, with the benefit of hindsight.
By the way, I am going to be out this week, Waddle.
Get out!
We were just talking about drinking ice cold Miller Lite on Friday with all of our great listeners, all of our great fans. We had a jam-packed Oak Forest Bowl. Thank you
that
to everyone.
That was a cool place.
Very cool outdoor venue.
Yep.
Just a great people there. Thank you to Miller Lite for continuing to bring us out to the neighborhoods that ask for us to be out. I'm going to be out Thursday with, I've got Bears preseason tickets.
Do we have any Bears fans in the bar?
It's the old trick. No one's going to cheer for me. So I say, do we have any Bears fans in the house? And then everyone roars. So I've got Bears preseason tickets, courtesy of Miller Lite.
And those are more meaningful this year than they have been in past years.
Than ever. Justin Fields time. Yeah. They've confirmed he's going to play a bunch. And then I've got free fantasy football passes. That's for August 21st at 115 Bourbon Street. I've got football trivia. I've got back-to-back appearances, Waddle. It's 7-9 out in the Burbs on Thursday. I'm going to be at... Stony Point Grill in Mokena. Stony Point Grill in Mokena on Thursday.
The Stony Point Grill's a nice place.
Have you been there before?
I've been to different ones, I believe. So, I think there's more than one, aren't there?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
This is the one in Mokena at 19031 Old LaGrange Road.
When you're down there, just go a little bit further south and say hi to all the people at Bourbon A that we used to see on a daily basis.
That is pretty far south, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, well, Thursday after our show, I'll be heading out there.
I got my vaccination close to out there.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh,
back
you traveled?
In April.
That's good.
I did travel.
Get vaccinated, people. Come on. So Thursday out in Mokena at Stony Point Grill. Then Friday, I'm going to be out in Lincoln Park. A rare city appearance, Waddle, at good old McGee's. McGee's Tavern.
Oh, look at you. I bet you have some experience at McGee's, don't you?
We all do. Yeah. If you've lived in the city, you've been to McGee's in the DePaul area a time or two or ten. And you've enjoyed yourself.
Oh, yeah. Probably dropped a few drops of puke on the outside going home.
I've never puked in McGee's.
Okay, what night are you going to be there?
Friday night, 6:30 to 8:30. So keep in mind, this is following Cubs Sox. I believe that game's on the north side.
Man.
Right?
Oh, boy.
So bring your buzz self over to Lincoln Park after that game.
Sylvie! Hate you! White Sox! Woo!
White Sox! White Sox! Go, White Sox.
Why do you hate Tony La Russa and the Sox, Sylvie?
Such a hater. So
At least your son doesn't.
Yeah, so Seth, this has been a huge development, Waddle. It's been exactly what I've been looking for. It's why I gave him the green light to cheer for the White Sox.
Just look at you. Look at you giving your son the authority to go out and be a fan for the team he wants to be a fan of. You are such a good guy.
There are some kids who are 4 or 5 who love baseball or 6. They want to play it in the backyard. And then they want to watch it. My son has not hugely been into playing baseball, nor he likes going to a game, but he hasn't really taken to the game. And now all of a sudden he likes the White Sox. And since we went back, and this was huge to go to a couple of games, because this is how I was fueled. You go to the game, you experience it in person, and then you want to see what you saw on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And now these last 3 to 4 White Sox games, since we were in Milwaukee, he watches them, and he watches them during long periods of time. And I will hear cheers coming from the basement. I will hear cheers coming from the family room. And even though it's the White Sox, it makes me very, very proud. But I saw the opposite of that happen on Saturday. The Sox were up 6-1 on Saturday. And the pitching, Kopech had a rare relief outing. The next thing you know, 6-1 turns into 8-6, and I've got a crying kid.
Well, he is your son. He sees his favorite team do something bad. He probably broke a few things and a few swear words.
He was throwing stuff, and he started to cry. And I'm like, Mason, first of all, the game's not over. They got time. They could come back. Number two, if they don't win today, there's another one tomorrow.
Yeah.
And they're still up 8 games. So don't worry. So it was like a double-edged sword.
What was most emotionally difficult for him?
He didn't like losing. He didn't like that feeling of being invested, I guess. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, Mason, it's July, the last day of July here. They got a long way to go. When they do this, if they were to do this in the playoffs, I'll give you the okay to get really mad. And then, by the way, when Goodwin hit the walk-off, he was in the basement. He took off his shirt and he ran upstairs. He did a shirt-off walk-off.
Really?
He was celebrating, and I'm like, where am I? This is my house? But, again,
Did you want to share a vodka afterwards to celebrate?
We didn't.
No?
I'm still a Cubs fan. People ask me, Sylvia, my allegiance is to the Cubs. But I want my kid to love baseball, to watch baseball.
Get out of here with that kid.
It's working, and I'm here for it.
So he's running around with his shirt off after they win.
He does.
Have you told him that they have, in fact, lost 44 games so far this year? So it does happen occasionally that they will drop one. I don't want to see him, ride that emotional roller coaster where there are tears for every loss. Yeah.
Well, it's going to be interesting because Saturday, I do believe we have Cubs Sox tickets.
Oh, boy.
And this will be the first time where Daddy's not going to be supporting you so much. I'm going to be rubbing it if Rafael Ortega goes deep again.
Yeah.
I got nothing to lose in this one. The Cubs aren't going for it now. So, look, if the Cubs lose, they're not, all
no
their guys are gone.
No pressure.
And I'm going to make them wear it.
Will you taunt him?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Look, if you make a choice, you got to live with your choice then.
Well, I think he's going to live with the choice. I just don't think you should expose him to taunting if his team doesn't. Again, they've lost 44 of these.
There's a lot of losses.
There are a lot of L's.
Yes. Gary in Des Plaines, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Gary?
Yeah, Sylvie, how are you?
We're good.
Good. I don't always agree with you. I'll say that first, but this I do agree with you on La Russa. Time's going to tell. I'll say this. I do like the way he gets players, involved. Guys don't sit on the bench for weeks at a time. But you had made a comment earlier about how he hasn't made a mistake in 6 weeks. And I'd like to point out the other night, he has Kopech come in the 7th inning. Kopech's due to lead off the 8th inning. Instead of doing a double switch, he has Kopech bat, and then he takes him out after one hitter in the 8th inning.
Right. Yeah.
To me, that's a big mistake. When he had Liam Hendricks on second base in the 10th inning against Cincinnati, when he should have known the rule that you could put Abreu out there because you don't have to put a pitcher out there. Stuff like that. It's him, the bench coach, somebody. You can't have mistakes like that when it comes to the playoffs.
Well, so, I pointed that out, Gary. It's a good call by you. Thank you. And, like, again, you don't, not only was it the wrong strategic move, but it was also
you put
risky.
Your player, right, because he had hamstring injuries earlier in the year or had hamstring issue. I'm surprised as well, and maybe we just don't have access to it. I can't imagine that there aren't guys sitting next to Tony telling him, look, remember, we got a double switch.
I know, but if your manager needs that, is he the right manager? Scott on the road, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Scotty?
You know, I'm a Cub fan. Sylvie, I was actually calling to give you some La Russa crap, but when you talked about your son without the shirt, I'm now having this visualization of you and your son at the Sox game, both taking your shirts off and running at the ice coat.
Oh, now, come on now. Now you're the hater, Scott. Come on. You're calling my family the Guise. Is that what you're saying?
No.
Mark and Mason LeGuy.
But La Russa does do a good job covering for his young players. There's a lot of times where he's in the media saying, that was my fault. He's backing these young guys. You asked for one thing that he's doing well. He's taking a lot of heat for his young bullpen. So I give him props.
You're right, Scott. You're right about that. I could safely say that. He has. And he has backed those guys up 100%. You are absolutely correct. Zach and DeKalb, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Zach?
Hey, guys. First time caller, long time listener. Sylvie, want to say it sounds like you got a good kid with the South Side pride. One thing I want to say is me and my buddies always say La Russa is playing chess, not checkers. I think it was on Friday night when he decided to pinch hit Zach Collins on a 2-0 count, mid-batter. I don't see any other manager doing that around the league. He's just kind of showing he has some big kahunas.
He also gave up his queen to a pawn the night or a few weeks ago when he didn't double switch for Michael Kopech.
How is that chess? I mean, that it's sounds like kind of being cute, doesn't it?
I mean, yeah, but also you see he's making the defensive switches late in the game with Billy Hamilton out in the center.
That's obvious.
To go cover that defensively. I mean, the big catch where he had in the mud and all that, nobody else is going to go make that catch.
No, that's why it's a Billy Hamilton
thing.
Yeah, that I mean, like all managers make defensive switches. Again,
look, what I can say to him, and I do, he's been fine.
And let me say this because a caller hung up. I don't know how long he stayed on. He says Sylvie's obsessed with La Russa. I wasn't the one who brought La Russa up today. That was another caller. That I had no intention of talking
this
about
was
Tony.
This was a Rick Hahn day for
this
us.
This is a Rick Hahn, Jed Hoyer day with all the trades. All right, we've been doing this with Keith Law for over a decade now, since really about a decade since the Cubs rebuild started. He was always the guy to tell us, this guy's a good prospect, that guy's not. When I was excited about Junior Lake, he told me, Sylvie, nothing to be excited about. This guy's not a legit prospect. So who did the Cubs get back? He also was all in on the White Sox rebuild and was telling us who they were getting back to. Keith Law is an expert when it comes to these prospects as top 100. Did the Cubs do well at this trade deadline? Keith Law answers that question coming up next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Three easy ways to listen to the Waddle and Sylvie show and all your favorite shows right here on ESPN 1000. Good old-fashioned AM 1000, where ESPN 1000 has lived for over two decades now. And we are also now available on the FM side for the first time ever. 100.3 HD2. Waddle put up a good tutorial up on the ESPN Chicago Instagram page.
I can even do it.
Yeah, Waddle did it. He enabled his HD. You go to 100.3, you just twist that button
Just a little twist.
Or you maybe scan up one, and then it goes from 100.3 to 100.3 HD2. So crystal clear FM HD radio.
It goes from like a Belinda Carlisle song to us.
To us.
All you gotta do is just one little click.
The sweet sounds of Waddle and Sylvie.
Instead of, the Bengals.
And then, of course, you can download that ESPN Chicago app. You can listen live. You can catch all the interviews or your favorite segments on demand. Like, if you didn't hear Jed Hoyer in its entirety, you can go to the ESPN Chicago app, get it on the Cap and Jay Hood page. You can do that as well with the Rick Hahn interview, and we're playing you samples of that as well. Let's talk to Keith Law. I've mentioned that for years and years, Keith has been good to our show when we've had questions about minor league players and prospects and trades and such through a couple of rebuilds now, the Cubs and the White Sox. Keith has been there for us. He does great work on The Athletic, and he joins us right now on the Corona Hotline. Hi, Keith. How you feeling today?
I'm good. I'm rested. I had to recover this weekend.
Was that the busiest trade deadline you have experienced, or did it just feel that way for us because of everything the Cubs and Sox did?
I think it was the busiest I've been through. I remember one or two where I was on air with ESPN where a bunch of stuff happened late. At the Manny Ramirez trade to the Dodgers, but that's more than a decade ago, right? I'd gotten very used to quieter trade deadlines, and then all hell broke loose on Friday.
Mm-hmm. Is there a big reason why that you think that this thing, a good explanation for why this thing went a little crazy this week?
No, I don't have a good explanation. In fact, if anything, if you guys had asked me last Wednesday, I would have said, no, I think we're going to have a pretty quiet trade deadline. It felt like we knew who the playoff teams were, and you didn't have a lot of sellers wanting to, you didn't have a lot of buyers wanting to part with prospects. And then many of the sellers, like the Baltimores, for example, didn't have a lot of good players to trade. But honestly, the Cubs deciding, all right, that's it, we're doing it, we're selling everybody, that probably moved the market as much as anything else.
Keith Law joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. So let's get right to it. And before we dig deep, overall, how did the Cubs do?
I think they did great, actually. I love what they did. First of all, if you're going to sell, you sell everybody, right? You sell all the free agents, and that's what they did. Bryant, Rizzo, Baez, Kimbrel, just trade them all. There's no point in hanging on to just one of them and saying, well, we're going to be, more competitive or something. No, you do exactly what they did. And I like the fact that they got back a mixture of prospects of different types, guys who are lower ceiling but maybe who are closer to the big leagues or who are just closer to sure things. And then some other guys who are farther away but offer a lot more upside, so lower probability of success. But if you do succeed with them, you've got a better chance to get some stars.
Where did the Cubs minor league system rank in your world before this trade deadline, Keith?
I feel like last offseason I had them in the bottom five. Now, I don't have my list in front of me, but I feel pretty confident that's where I'd had them. And I would put them probably somewhere more towards the middle of the pack at this point, which is a big jump. But I'm saying they jumped maybe 10 spots on a list of 30. So that's a pretty good outcome.
So does this cut down the amount of time it will take from now to them being competitive again?
The one variable I can't predict, I don't know that anybody knows the answer to this, is whether they're going to spend any money. Right? The last time they got good, it was because they had some very successful high draft picks, some very successful trades, and then they spent money. And that is on ownership. And this ownership group has not seemed very inclined to spend money in the last 2 years. And that makes me wonder, well, are they going to open the pockets again when this team does start to get good in, let's say, 2 to 3 years, or are they going to continue to be stingy? I don't know the answer. I know that the opportunity will be there in 2 or maybe let's say 3 years. I want to be a little conservative. But then at that point, they're going to have to spend to bring in some outside talent.
Keith, a lot of Cubs fans want to know, are they rebuilding or resetting? It sounds to me like you believe they're rebuilding with that timeline. Jed couldn't say it today on the radio show. He says he still isn't sure of the absolute plan because of the agreement that needs to be reached between CBA. The players and owners. But what would you call this then for the Cubs?
Well, so he's right about the CBA could change a lot of things, certainly. But the whole, resetting, rebuilding, retooling, tomato, tomato, this is a rebuild. That's what it is. You just sold off, did not retain any of your top impending free agents. You sold off their contracts, the last 2 months of their contract, for younger talent, very little of which is going to help the big league club even next year. I think it's probably 2 years from now that you start to see the real impact from these trades. And by the way, that's fine. Me saying it's a rebuild is not a criticism, but to me, sort of call things what they are. That's pretty clear what this is.
Keith, before we get into some specifics and some of the minor league names the Cubs added, I'd love to get your feelings on the Kimbrel for Hoyer Madrigal trade and how both teams fared, in your opinion.
Yeah, I'm good with basically anything you get for Kimbrel at this point. I know he'd been obviously at his peak for 4 months this year, but I also look at what he did the last 2 years, and he's a reliever, and he's on the older side for being a reliever. It could go at any minute. So he was the one I felt like there was almost the most urgency to trade, because trade him now before something goes wrong, before he gets hurt or suddenly stops throwing strikes again. And I mean, we've talked about Madrigal. I don't think he's a star. I don't think he's anything more than maybe a solid regular. But so what? If you got a solid regular for the next 6 years, even if Madrigal turned out to be nothing but a good utility player, and I think he's a little more than that, to get 6 years of that for 2 months of Madrigal, plus you got another reliever thrown in, that's a huge win.
Yeah, we've had a lot of, like, I'm a short guy, Keith. You met me in person, so I'm team short guy.
You know, we're not short, we're fun size.
Yeah, we're fun size. So I like Madrigal because he's fun size too. I feel like just in the three outcome situation and with all the strikeouts at a record pace this year, that to me, if you build the team right, there's Nick Madrigal would fit perfectly, because I'm not throwing away 317 career hitter. Do you know what I mean? I understand that it takes a longer to drive a guy in from first than a guy who could hit a home run, but to me, there's really still an important spot for a player like Nick Madrigal if he's going to hit.
Yeah, he can play for you. He can't be, you know, I think I may have even written this. If he's your leadoff guy, you're probably looking for something better. If he is your 8 or 9 hole hitter, you're thrilled. And the fact that also he does play a position up the middle. I know he's not a great defensive second baseman, but he's fine. He's not hurting anyone with his second base defense, and maybe over time he'll turn out to be an above average one. If he's batting at the bottom of your lineup, he's one of the two least productive hitters in your lineup, you are ecstatic. And I think that's where they will ultimately get to with him.
All right. From a scale of like a top prospect to Junior Lake, which trade did you like the most that the Cubs made, and which one had you scratching your head a bit?
I will say I don't think I scratched my head at any of them. I thought they were all really good. When taken individually, I thought they were all good. And then when taken as a whole, I thought they were great. The Rizzo trade to me is particularly interesting because of Kevin Alcantara, who was the most lottery ticket-ish of all these guys. He's 18. He's in the Gulf Coast League. I refuse to call it the Florida Man League or whatever they're calling it now. It'll forever be the Gulf Coast League, because I'm old enough now that I can do that, right? I can say I'm not changing. I'd seen video of him from 2 years ago when he was 16 and playing in that league, and he looked like a baby, right? He was clearly not even begun to fill out physically. Well, now he has. And he always had speed, and he was projected to be a plus defender in center, but now he's stronger and he's making hard contact. You can see the swing looks better just because he's got the hand and wrist strength now. He's like getting a late first round draft pick in this kind of trade. Now, he may not pan out. Plenty of 18-year-old outfielders don't pan out, but I love that they targeted a guy like that. They didn't just go get a bunch of Madrigals. They did not play this safe overall. And the fact that they could get someone like him, who I know the Yankees liked quite a bit, in the Rizzo trade, and then also get a pitcher in Vizcaino, who's probably a reliever but has a really great arm, and maybe he turns out to be a starter. I love it. The Cubs need – you're going to need stars to win, and that's probably, of all the trades, the one where they got the best chance to get a star player back somewhere in return.
Pete, what can you tell us about Pete Crow Armstrong, the guy they got in return for Baez?
Yeah, I do like him. I had him ranked 10th in the draft class last year. He's a little more in the Madrigal camp. I think he's a little stronger than Madrigal, but a guy who's pretty high floor. Crow Armstrong's going to play center field in the big leagues. He is very close to a major league caliber defender already. I think he's going to end up an excellent defender, a plus-plus defender in center. I love his swing. I think he's got a really good feel to hit. I think he's going to be more singles and doubles and some plus speed, not a lot of home runs. He did swing and miss a little bit more than you like as an amateur, but also he missed the last half of his spring because of COVID, too. They were one of the first schools to cancel out in Southern California. So that may be skewing some of our impressions of him. I think he's definitely a big leaguer. I think there's a pretty good chance he's an above-average regular, probably not a lot more than that. He's the better leadoff hitter candidate of the two, right? What I was saying with Madrigal, you don't want him to be your leadoff hitter. Well, maybe Carl Armstrong's your leadoff hitter and Madrigal hits eighth, and that's a great outcome.
Okay. Two really quick questions before we let you go. Number one, did the Cubs get any top 100 prospects out of these deals?
Yeah, I think in the end, I've only ranked 50 recently. I don't believe they got anybody off of my top 50. My guess is one or two of these guys, if they don't make the top 100, they can be very close to it on the ultimate list. I would actually feel better about saying 2 years from now, are we talking about one or two of these guys? Like Alcantara, I'm almost overselling the guy. He looks like somebody who could make that list another year from now. I'm also really intrigued by Caleb Killian, who was in the Chris Bryant trade. I don't know that he's a huge ceiling guy, but the reports I got on him from scouts this year, he got a lot better during the lockdown, and I'm really intrigued. He might be a legit starting pitching, major league average starting pitcher, and fairly soon. I don't know if that's top 100, but it's really valuable.
Yep. And then my final question, the four lottery tickets, as you put it, when you talked to us, that they got for you, Darvish, back a year ago, we didn't know much about because there wasn't really anything going on. Any new reports on them and if they've got a good player in that mix?
I have not, I'll be honest, I have not heard any new reports, which is not to say that they haven't been good or at least at expectations, but I haven't heard anything new on their guys so far from this summer.
Okay. Keith, great work as always. We appreciate your time with us. Thank you.
Thanks, Keith.
Yep, my pleasure.
Keith Law, who does great work on the system, and I was surprised by that. I wonder if Cubs fans feel better. There wasn't one move that he scratched his head over. He liked all of them, and in total, he believes they did great.
I thought I saw you frown a little bit when he talked about Madrigal, but just a little.
A little, yeah, a little for bit. Sure, because yeah. Then I'm like, I hope I'm not too junior lakey on
him. Yes, exactly. 312-332-3776.
Waddle's World is coming up, and you will get an inside look on what it sounded like around Lollapalooza coming up.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000. This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Are you not entertained?
It's time to find out what's on Tom's mind.
Is that why you are here?
As we go inside Waddle's World.
Come on in. We serve drinks. Food's good. Welcome to Waddle's World, brought to you by our great partners at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. To find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank, visit wintrust.com/findus. Member FDIC. A lot of football news, and we will get to more football at 4 o'clock, because there's a lot going on, including some interesting comments that I believe that were made by Nick Foles.
Yes, right. Besides baseball, there's a lot going on with our Bears and the Bulls.
It's football season for... Yeah. Do you realize?
Oh, yeah.
What am I going to say?
Do you realize how excited you are? Because in our promo video, you were very excited. People have commented just how excited you visibly looked.
Yeah.
Quite excited.
Because, well, I mean...
Your pigskins were showing.
Yeah. What I was going to tell you is that from this day or from this week through, like, as far as the eye can see, there will be football. Not just in practice. There's a Thursday night game this week. I don't know if you know that.
Are you watching preseason football just because it's football?
Would you like to show yourself out of here with
really?
That kind of asinine comment?
Well, we usually get bored during our team's preseason games.
Are you going to get bored during this year's preseason games
not
for our
with
team?
Justin Fields on the...
That's my point.
And I can't wait for the Trubisky-Field showdown. That is going to be entertaining at the fantasy football championship.
Consume as little or as much as you want. But I do believe that we have ourselves a football game this Thursday night. It's the Dallas Cowboys and the Pittsburgh Steelers. I believe that's the Hall of Fame game,
right?
It is.
It is the Hall of Fame game. No Dak, though, right? Because of the shoulder?
Yeah. Yeah, that's not good. And by the way, I'll be in Canton this weekend to enjoy the celebration of Jimbo Covert going into the Hall of Fame.
It's outstanding.
Jimbo's one of our favorite guys.
And this was supposed to be a year ago.
I believe so, yes. And I know how much, I mean, obviously I have tremendous respect for Jimbo as a football player, Hall of Famer. You and I both
love
the guy. He's a fantastic human being as well as a dominant football player. I believe he only was able to play 8 years because of the back injury, but dominant as hell and much deserving of going into the Hall of Fame. And I played with Jimbo, I think, for a couple years and then, you know, got to be, you know, decent friends with him. So I feel flattered to be part of the crew that's going. So
he's one of the kindest, smartest guys. Yeah. One of these would hear about all these former Bears and how they do off the field.
Yeah.
This guy is hugely successful.
I plan on bellying up to the bar next to Dan Marino, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to go stalking.
Will you ask him the Yurko story, or has that been asked before?
I'm not going to invade his space, and I'm not going to pull him aside as he's having.
Dan, with the Yurko.
Can you book him? Can you book him for Monday?
No, can't do that.
Dan Marino would be a good book.
I think you should slip him a little note.
I'm there to celebrate the career of Jimbo Covert, not
do
sign
some
up
work.
Guests
book
for
him.
The week.
Book him.
No.
Do you guys feel this way? The Hall of Fame
By
game,
the way,
each
are
and every.
Are you excited about football? We have a football game.
Are you
on
kidding
Thursday.
Me? What do I look like? You cut my skin. I don't bleed blood. I bleed football talk.
Let's
go.
Believe what he
you
said?
Bleed football.
Yes.
Talk.
What do you think we're doing here, Sophie? Of course. We bleed football talk, and I'm excited. Do you guys ever feel this way when you get?
He's still shook because his kid's a White Sox.
I know. And the whole Cubs thing last week, selling off all their pieces like it's a bad garage sale.
Yeah, no, I know. Baseball for your team from here to the end of September.
Yeah, do you guys ever feel this way? The Hall of Fame game, it's like the start of the sprint to the end of the summer.
Yeah.
I always feel like when we get to this weekend, Hall of Fame weekend, it's like, I love summer. Everything's great. And then you realize, oh, crap.
Yes.
We're weeks away from Labor Day. Yeah. And this puppy's wrapping up quickly here.
This puppy up.
The change to August is always, like, July's my favorite month on the calendar.
Is it?
Well, I mean, like, think about all July has packed in. It's got one of the best holidays and the 4th of July. The weather is the nicest that we get. It's spectacular.
August is pretty nice weather.
August is nice, but like Chris said, and football's back.
Yeah.
You can feel the days are getting shorter just a little bit. You can notice it's getting darker a little earlier.
I noticed this last week.
Yeah. So is it already getting darker?
Oh, yeah. The sun's starting to go down around like 8:20 now.
And
the height of the summer,
days.
It's up past 9.
Speaking of football, there are some football stories to get to real quick. Carson Wentz going to have foot surgery, going to be out 5 to 12 weeks.
It's a big window right there.
I was just going to say, that's a pretty big discrepancy. My guess is it's probably going to be somewhere right in the middle, probably 7, 8, 9 weeks.
And I know we're going to talk about Foles at 4. Do you believe that Foles isn't an option for the Colts because of Wentz?
No.
Well, does Wentz and Foles, do they get along from when they spend time together in Philly?
I'm not 100% sure. Look, it's probably, I don't know Carson Wentz at all. I've never met him. I haven't heard a ton of firm rumors about different things. It feels from a distance like he can be a bit sensitive about things. And there's probably some, sensitivity that exists. Look, he was going to be the MVP of the entire league before he got hurt, I believe, against the Rams, right? Trying to dive into the end zone. He was going to be the MVP of the league, and then Nick Foles steps in, and they end up winning the Super Bowl with Nick Foles. So, and now Carson Wentz gets hurt. Nick Foles comes into the Colts, potentially, and they do the same thing there. Like, I'm not suggesting they're going to win a Super Bowl, but what if he goes in there and plays well? Are they going to say,
ooh,
we're going to put Nick on the sideline over here, we're going to give the job to Carson Wentz? I mean, I don't know. It is funny, though, because we will talk more Bears and Nick Foles at 4 o'clock. But I think Nick Foles said some really interesting things today when he met the media.
And the bigger picture is having to do with Matt Nagy.
Yes. Some other NFL news. Eagles rookie wide receiver Devontae Smith, also the Heisman Trophy winner this year from Alabama, Roll Tide, is expected to miss 2 to 3 weeks with a sprained MCL. How about this story? I brought it to your attention. This is the first time I've ever heard, and maybe this isn't the first time it's ever happened, but a young man who's supposed to be a senior in high school is going to skip his senior season to join Ohio State. It's quarterback Quinn Ewers, number 2 prospect in 2022, top quarterback in the class in Texas, and once committed to the Longhorns, he said no, cited his inability to profit off of NIL as a factor in his decision to head to Columbus early. So
pretty
he is going to Ohio State and will be eligible to compete in fall camp.
Good for him.
Do you have to have a high school degree to go to college?
It's a good question. Does he get a GED?
I don't know.
It's Ohio State, right?
Ouch.
Wow. High school degree, not necessary.
I will say this. My best friend in the world, Phil Vogel, he says it's the six greatest years of his life. Going to Ohio State and getting out.
He did spend six years.
Oh,
did he?
Yeah. Some other news for you quickly. Simone Biles will return to competition for the beam final.
Good for her.
Okay. I don't know if you saw this morning. You probably didn't because it came on at 3 a.m. When I woke up at 5 to do what I normally do, which is take a bathroom break, my wife was still up watching the post-mortem of the game because Canada beat the U.S. women's team 1-0. So they will now play for the bronze medal.
Was that a huge upset?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Canada and
soccer?
I will say this to you, too, that
I thought, and I watched the entire game when they played the Netherlands, I thought the Netherlands outplayed them from start to finish, and I thought the U.S. team was fortunate to get past them.
I haven't followed as much, Waddle, but I believe the conversation around the women's national team has been there were some good young players that were left back.
Really?
And a lot of the names that you know, Carly Lloyd and some of the others who were taken with to Tokyo, that if they would have taken some of the younger players, the team would actually perform a little bit better.
Maybe you could trade them to the Yankees, to the Mets, and to the Giants and bring up some of the younger guys, players.
That's pretty funny on your behalf. Japan has rallied earlier today past the U.S. and into the semifinal round in baseball as well.
Really? Oh, yeah. We lost in baseball too?
Yes. Yeah. Jason Benetti, I think, is doing the Olympic baseball. That young man is
fantastic.
Yeah,
Benetti's the best. He's doing it from here, though. He's not in Tokyo.
Right. But he's taking time away from the White Sox television broadcast to do Olympic baseball.
Connor, our buddy Connor, had the walk-off call yesterday on Goodwin.
It was fantastic.
So, you want to hear the Lala when we come back?
Yeah, when we come back, we've got Lala and the nuttiest story of the day and something we call Florida or Ohio.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
See some people roaming the streets today. Roaming may be the wrong word, but just traveling the streets of Chicago who were in town for Lollapalooza.
We do okay. We do all right with that.
Me personally or the city?
You had your own personal story to do with your daughter.
Yes.
Any phone lost?
No, nothing was lost. My daughter and two friends and my niece were all in my other daughter's apartment all three nights by 11 o'clock. They did not go yesterday. So it was 3 days of debauchery.
They were home by 11.
But they were all
good for them.
Yes, they were all. I can follow them on my phone and the chip and behind their head and their neck. no, I'm joking. But
how do you know they didn't pull the wool over your eyes there and pull a Ferris Bueller?
So they left the phone in my other daughter's apartment?
It is possible.
I was just looking for a way to go to sleep, and I couldn't go to sleep until I knew she was back at my oldest daughter's apartment, and that's when I shut her down and went to bed.
No, that's where you, refuel, and then you go back out for the night.
Right? You leave your phone behind.
She may have done that. I don't know.
But all's well that ends well.
As far as I know,
yes.
Chris, I guess you were out on the street taking it all in and checking it out, weren't you?
Yeah, it's something we like to do from time to time. It's called Black and Abdallah's in the lot, and usually we're out in a parking lot, but over the weekend we were out in the streets downtown Chicago for Lollapalooza.
In the lot with Black and Abdallah.
We're going to try to talk to some of these fans, and if they get unruly, we go back to you.
The sweet smell of grilled meats.
Who's ready for a heated link here, huh? You buddy?
Ice cold beer.
We better pound these beers and get in there. Game's about to start.
Black and Abdallah are in the lot.
I think that we're going to have to throw it back to you because these people do not want to conduct themselves as gentlemen.
I'm Chris Black. I'm out on the street, and I'm talking to the youth of today as they head
to Lollapalooza. Who are you guys here to see?
We went to see Suicide Boys and Playboi Carti and Miley Cyrus.
My favorite today is Polo G.
Polo G, yeah. Polo G or Jack Harlow or Tyler, the Creator.
Today we're seeing...
Tyler, the Creator.
Jack Harlow.
Roddy Ricch.
Polo G.
Yeah. How was it?
Playboi Carti was awesome. It was like... I mean, his concerts are known for, like, huge mosh pits and stuff. Like, I've never been in a crowd that big. It was just, it was huge.
Some of the lesser-known bands at Lollapalooza, have you guys heard of Bep Bip?
I have not, no.
Have you heard of Mookie Betts and the Blue Five?
I have not.
Are you guys going to check them out?
I only got the one-day pass, but I don't know what day they were playing. Did they play yesterday?
No, it was Saturday.
Okay, so if I had that pass, I would go check them out now that you just told me, but...
Bep Bip?
I don't think so.
DJ Drew Holiday, have you heard of him?
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Wait, what's his, like, style, if you had to sum it up?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I don't even know. Is
well,
he, like, EDM?
People that we don't know the names to, but then we, like, go and then we know the songs.
Yeah, like, oh, this is you that's playing these songs. Like, oh, okay, it makes sense.
Last year when I was there, Terry Stotts was like that. Did you guys hear him play last year?
Yeah, last year. I went... for 2 days, so I don't know, maybe? Is he like EDM or chill music?
Yeah, it's like folky stuff.
Okay, yeah. Like,
he plays a banjo.
Oh, he's a banjo guy. Yeah.
Have you guys heard of some of the lesser known bands like Bep Bip?
I can't say.
No, but we haven't seen like smaller bands and they're really good. Yeah. It's really fun.
I honestly like the person I saw yesterday, Max, I didn't know who he was, but his show might be like my favorite.
Yeah, they're really good. They're really good performers. Yeah.
I think Mookie Betts performed yesterday early. Did you guys see him?
No, but we saw like, so I don't really remember their names, but they were really good. They were good performers.
Everyone is super good. Everyone has really good energy. Like the crowds are awesome. Yeah. So.
Have you guys heard of some of the lesser known artists like Bep Bip?
No, I have not. I have not.
I don't say I have.
Terry Stotts?
I feel like I've heard the name, but I don't know.
Yeah, that's
yeah. Plays coach.
Plays a banjo. It's nice.
He does?
Yeah, man. Saturday. Yeah, early. You gotta get there early, though.
Right. Yes, he changed sides. All right,
I'll be there.
Good times out in the streets.
Goofing on the youth of America. I was just hoping, Chris, I did not hear my own daughter's voice in that.
I don't think I ran into her, no.
I love that out of all the names you
Terry Stotts.
You use Terry Stotts.
That's fantastic.
He's looking for a gig, right?
Yeah. I was going to say, has he landed somewhere as an assistant?
I think later in the show we'll hear another example of the youth of America not getting it
but
right.
Can I give them credit? Because... a lot of times when you get interviewed and the pressure's on, you agree and you say, oh, yeah, I saw Bep Bip.
Yeah,
Bep Bip was great. None of them said they saw them or tried to fake it.
Yeah.
That's
true.
Yeah, it was good.
I will say, they are much smarter than they appear. Is that a fair way to put it? Like
are you telling me their appearance led you to believe that they were very
like
smart?
You would think Gen Z, they're all, you know, they're too worried about TikTok to really know what's going on in the world, but they seemed like
were dialed into their phones or were they looking you in the eye?
In the eye, okay, they were having a conversation, they were being people and humans, and I like
that's
that.
That's fantastic.
Good work.
That is good.
Thank you to everyone who participated.
Well done. And again, we will get, what do we call that again?
In the lot.
In the lot. We'll get back in the lot before we get out of here today. Real quick, the nuttiest story of the day brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, A Night with Screwball.
And it's bound to get a little bit nutty.
I'll just give you the basis here. The Pentagon is experimenting with using artificial intelligence to see days in advance. Tell me that doesn't scare you.
That freaks me. What do you mean? How could it happen?
The U.S. Northern Command recently conducted a series of tests known as the Global Information Dominance Experiments, or GIDE, which combine global sensor networks, artificial intelligence systems, and cloud computing resources in an attempt to achieve information dominance and decision-making superiority. According to NORTHCOM leadership, the AI and machine learning tools tested in the experiments could someday offer the Pentagon a robust ability to see days in advance, meaning it could predict the future with some reliability based on evaluating patterns, anomalies, and trends in massive data sets.
If Abdallah was here and he's back tomorrow, he would be freaked out now. He's talking about the robot takeover and everything that.
Yeah.
Like, that sounds like something like a time machine. If you have...
A little freaky, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's on the way. It's coming.
How could they predict the future?
You're going to have to talk to someone smarter than me about that. You guys want to play a game real quick?
Real quick.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation.
Wow.
Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings.
I don't even understand.
Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home. Bum, bum.
All right, guys. Suspect steals WWE title belts.
Whoa.
Yeah, listen to this. Suspect did this job in a central arena in the town. Police are searching for a man who stole WWE property from that central arena. Early in the morning, an unidentified man entered the arena to steal items belonging to the World Wrestling Entertainment.
Which is based out of Tampa, right?
Like Tampa. That's good. That's smart.
Something stolen? Is there some meth or anything involved as well,
Sean?
Well,
there were three title belts signed by various WWE stars.
Okay. Are you telling me the headquarters are in Tampa?
I don't know. I have to guess.
Cross necklace worn by WWE star Sheamus and a corner pad. A corner pad?
Filled with booger sugar. No, not booger sugar.
By the person of interest.
I'll roll with Florida again.
I'm going to go Tampa.
I'm with you guys. I think you're on to this one, Florida.
Yep. Tampa, Florida.
Whoa! You nailed the city.
Boom.
There you go. We got some callers that want to take their phone calls. Also, Nick Foles, did he go after Bears coaching?
In a veteran type of way.
You'll get a Bears report coming up in 2 short minutes.